Okay, we're beginning a new sugya, which we, I think, made a brief start to on Thursday. It says the Gemara, Daf Mem Vav Omer Beis, Omer Beichan. Esrog b'shvi osa b'shmini muta. The Esrog on the seventh day of Yom Tov, which is the final day of Sukkos, Hashanah Rabbah, the Esrog is osa. Osa for what? To eat. But on the Shmini, on the eighth day, which is really Shmini Atzeres, when obviously there's no mitzvah of Esrog at all, muta. Sukkah, afilu b'shmini asura. The sukkah, even on the eighth day, is asa. And obviously that needs explanation. Why does that need explanation? At the moment, before we even really delve into the svaras much, but what would we say? Which line do we understand better? Do we understand the Esrog line or the Sukkah line? Esrog, the Gemara says, is muta on the eighth day. The Gemara says that Sukkah is also on the eighth day.
That's hard to
understand. So Sukkah is very hard to understand. Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Yom Tov. Or better put, it's the day after Sukkah. So why should the Sukkah be also Bahano? Says Rashi. What does it mean the Esrog is osa? Osa for what? Says Rashi, la'achila. Va'afilu la'achar sheyotza bo. Even after you have already been yotza the mitzvah, nonetheless, it is still osa. Kod mefarish taima, as we're going to explain shortly the reasoning, kosovar, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that l'kol shivas hayomim iskatzoi. This is going to be the main word on this omud, iskatzoi. Iskatzoi has become mukta or has been made mukta. We discussed this on Thursday. When you allocate, when you designate something for a mitzvah and you use it for a mitzvah, it becomes osa to use and to change its allocation for any other usage. Now, I would have thought that when you initially allocated this esrog for your mitzvah, meaning for the mitzvah arba minim, that means that you want to use it until the seventh day, but once you've been mekayim the mitzvah on the seventh day, l'chayr has no more usage. Unlike sukkah, which there's no such thing as no more usage, because sukkah you could use till the very last minute, whereas the esrog, once you've shaken it in the morning, there's nothing to do with it. Yet, Rabbi Yochanan is mechadish to us, this is what the Gemara is shortly going to tell us, and Rashi is pre-warning, that no, the haktza'o, what does the haktza'o mean? When he was initially makte, when he initially allocated it in his mind, it was for all 7 days. Says the next Rashi, Sukkah afilu b'shmini asura lahasoka. Here, obviously, we're not discussing achila, it's hasoka, which means for firewood. You cannot use it for firewood, not only on the first 7 days, but even on the eighth. And immediately, Rashi asks the question, the time of Mefarish lekamon, Maishnomi Esrog. Why should this be any different from Esrog? So clearly the emphasis in Rashi is, like you mentioned, Ramesh Zelig, that the one that needs explanation is the Sukkah halacha. That's what Rashi is saying. Maishnomi Esrog. Why is Sukkah any different from Esrog? In other words, Sukkah is the one that's difficult. Esrog is not difficult at all. It makes perfect sense. Then on the eighth day is muta. But why on earth should the sukkah be also on the eighth day? Says the Gemara, it's a fair question. The Gemara will discuss. So therefore, we will move on. That is all the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. V'Resh Lakish Omar. No. Esrog, you're telling me that on the Shvi'i it's also. I maintain that afilu b'shvi nami muta. What does that mean, b'shvi nami muta? When?
After you do the
mitzvah. After you've done the mitzvah, obviously. Says Rashi, v'afilu b'zai nami muteres, misha yotzabo. Rashi's pointing out, don't make the mistake of thinking that you have to translate the Gemara literally, that it's muta first thing in the morning. Of course it's not. It means after you have been yotza the mitzvah, ve'eina oimedes. This is also going to be a key word on this page. Eina oimedes. It no longer stands. Le mitzvah oid. Comma. it no longer stands to be used for further mitzvah. Why? Because there is no further mitzvah. You finished. De Kosova, because he holds le mitzvosa iskatsoi. The haktsoa was not for 7 days, but rather the haktsoa was for as long as I need it for the mitzvah. Once I finish the mitzvah, says Rashi, v'su loy. And after that, not. In other words, it sounds like the machlokes is, and this is what the Gemara is going to tell us right now. In fact, let's see it in the Gemara. B'mai komiflegi. What exactly is the machlokes? Whenever you have b'mai komiflegi, do you know what the key letter there is? The base. It doesn't say my komiflegi. What is the argument? I know what the argument is. One says it's mut on the 7th, and one says it's mut on the 8th. B'mai komiflegi means, in what are they arguing? I mean, what's the argument revolving about? I know what they say, but why does he hold 7? Why does he hold 8? Says the Gemara, the Machlokes is as follows. Mar sovar, one opinion holds, le mitzvosa iskatsoi. Whose opinion is that? Rish Lakish. Umar sova, no. Le kula yoime iskatsoi. That the haktsoa is not just for the duration of the mitzvah, but rather for the entire 7-day period, which means until the end of the 7th day, it's still muktzah, despite the fact that you've already been yotzei your mitzvah. Once you come to the 8th day, then it'll be mutter. Obviously, this will need a lot of explanation. Why does he hold haktsoas for the mitzvah? Why does he hold haktsoas for all 7 days? But for the moment, let's just try and get a little bit into the sugya, and then we'll see the rishonim. Eisvei Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish now attempts to ask a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Reish Lakish was the second opinion in the Gemara, and he holds that on the 7th day, it's mutter, at least after being yotzei the mitzvah. So he's going to prove that point from against Rabbi Yochanan from a braisa, because Rabbi Yochanan maintains that it's asa the entire duration of the 7th day, even if you've already been yotzei your mitzvah.
The proof of a braisa or our Mishnah?
It's actually our Mishnah, quite right. It says in the Mishnah, Eis v'Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan miyad tinoikos shomtin es lulvehen v'oichlin es regehen. Now, if you remember, we mentioned last time, the word miyad can mean two different things, either from the hands of or immediate. There are no two meanings, by the way, of a word which are not related. Whenever a word has double meaning, it must be that the meanings are related. Can anybody think of a relationship between the two meanings of this word? Miyad means from the hand or immediate? The answer is because your hand is very, very close to you. The most accessible, near part of your body is your hands. Therefore, miyad means immediate. What does the word hoido'o mean?
Praise, thanks.
How do you translate hoido'o? Thanks. But it can also mean something else. When I say ani moide, what does moide mean? Moide can either mean I thank, or it means I admit. You know something? I'm moide, you're right. It doesn't mean I thank you, it means I admit you're right. So what has admitting got to do with thanking? It's the same word and has two meanings. Same. They're related or unrelated?
Related.
Why are they related?
Because that's the first thing you have to do is to admit them.
So further details. Then Hashem is Hashem. Is this shit happening tomorrow?
Yeah. Big time.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people coming.
We'll discuss this in the show. Okay. I'll call upon him the oifen. So for the moment, we're going to translate, and we'll see Rashi will discuss this. Miyad meaning from the hands. Rashi will debate Maybe there's an alternative translation which is immediate. But for the moment, we're translating as miyad tinoikos, from the hands of the tinoikos, shomtimes lul vehen v'oichlenes regen. They used to grab the children's esrogim immediately after they'd be mekayim the mitzvah and eat them. That is a quote from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, my love, wouldn't this also mean to suggest that hu hadin legdoilim? Not only from the children's esrogim, but the same would apply also from the adults' esrogim. Now remember, the children's esrogim, because a child is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of esrog, so therefore all these halachas can't apply.
But the question was, isn't it also an adult who can eat it immediately, not just the children?
No, the adult is allowed to eat the child's esrog even on the first day, because not allocated for a mitzvah. He's not mechuyev in the mitzvah. The question is, whose esrog was it? So the lashon of the Mishnah is, the adult took it from the hands of the tinoikos.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, but probably, says the Gemara, that's lav dafka, and it doesn't necessarily only mean from the hands of the children, it can also mean from the hands of the adults.
Okay.
Just, I guess, you're more likely to be able to take the child's estrog than you are the adult's estrog. But presumably, the same would apply for an adult's estrog. That what? That immediately following being mekayim the mitzvah on the seventh day, they would take their esrogim and eat them. So who is that a question? That's a raya to whose opinion?
Rabbi Yochanan.
That's a raya to...
Oh, it's a raya to Reish Lakish.
It's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, a raya to Reish Lakish. You see that on the seventh day, rather than having to wait till tomorrow, no. They used to mekayim the mitzvah and take the esrogim from who? From the children, from the adults. Says the Gemara, loy, tinoikos dafka. Don't make the lashon of the Mishnah lav dafka. It is dafka. The Mishnah deliberately mentioned in the nusach of the Mishnah tinoikos in order to suggest, in order to clearly remind you that it was only the children's esrogim that were permitted to be eaten, but the adults of Sregim were all considered mukta, hukta lemitzvasai, until when? Until the end of the day, at least as far as Rabbi Yochanan was concerned.
Would this be Rabbi Yochanan's response?
This would be Rabbi Yochanan's response. Okay. So Reish Lakish, when he read the Mishnah, he reads it as saying what? Tinoikos, but lav dafka, children, adults, all the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, to the contrary. If the Mishnah says children, it means very much only the children. In fact, it would almost seem a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what the Gemara now says. Ikka da Omri, some say there was an alternative version of the above conversation. Some say it was mentioned the other way around. Eis ve Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. First version of events is that Rabbi Lakish is doing the questioning. Second version is that no, Rabbi Lakish is being questioned. Rabbi Yochanan is doing the questioning. Why? Because it says, Miyad hatinoikos shemtim es lulveihen, vo'ichlen esregen, quote unquote. Tinoikos? In. What does in mean?
Yes.
But gedoilim, loy. So Rabbi Yochanan has every right to medayik the Lashon of the Mishnah. It sounds like only the children's esrogim. Otherwise, why would the Mishnah point out the children? It must be that they were particular only to take the children's esrogim. But the adults' esrogim, they would not take. Why would they not take? Because it's mukta. Until when?
Till the end of the day.
Till the end of the day. By the way, let's mention this once and then we don't have to point this out again. Whenever we say the word mukta, we know what we're referring to. We don't mean the mukta as we normally use its term on Shabbos, which is tiltul. Tiltul means to move something. You're allowed to move an esrog on Sukkos, on Chol HaMoed, it's not a problem. Now, as we mentioned before, there's no one word that has two meanings which are unrelated. Of course it's all related, Muktza means it's being removed from my das. The reason why your cow is muktza on Shabbos is because what? There's nothing you could do with it. The only thing you could do is shecht it. You're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. The reason why a stone is muktza on Shabbos is because there's nothing to do with it, unless you've allocated it prior to Shabbos. So this is a different type, albeit related, type of muktza, huktza l'mitzvosei. It's been allocated for a mitzvah, and by definition that means for nothing else. Don't eat the esrog, and don't use your sukkah boards as firewood. So again, according to the first version of events, we are assuming that what? That when it says tinoikis, it's lav dafka. Says Reb Yechanan, no, it's dafka. Second version of event is Reb Yechanan is bringing the proof. Oh, if it says tinoikis, it means dafka tinoikis. Says Rish Lakish, no. Hu hadin. Really, the exact same din would apply. The afilu gedolim, even gedolim would be the exact same halacha. Aye, the obvious question is what? So why does it say tinoikos? V'hai d'ktoni tinoikos, and that which it says, children, urcha de milsa ktoni. What does urcha de milsa? What does urcha mean? What? Yes, but that's not a translation. What does urcha mean? What's an oirach? Orchas tzadikim is a sefer called Orchas tzadikim.
Away.
The milsa. Of the matter. This is the way of things, which is another way of saying this was just a normal case. Really, technically, you could eat the gedolim's esrog, you could eat the children's esrog, but the way of things was. Remember we saw in the Mishnah that why was this done? It was done in celebration. Beseder, but the celebration meant that they would take the children's esrogim. Not because halachically you couldn't take the gedolim's esrogim. You could. So why didn't they? Because that was the way of things. I guess it's just easier to take a child's esrog than it is an adult's esrog. But don't be medayek from over here, says Resh Lakish, that only the children is mutter, but the adults is osa. Everybody is mutter. Why is everybody mutter according to Resh Lakish? Because once you've been mekayim the mitzvah, it's no longer muktzah, albeit that it's still the seventh day. The reason why it says children is because that was the urcha de milsa. Okay, let's have a look at Rashi. There's a lengthy Rashi over here. Now, before we see the lengthy Rashi, with your permission, I'd like to miss out this Rashi for the moment. Let's go to the Rashis afterwards, and then we'll come back. My love, hu hadin. This was the first version of events. Although it says tinoikos, but my love, isn't it true to say that the exact same would be also in the case of gedolim? My love, hu hadin, be'esroigim shel gedolim. The esroigim belonging to gedolim, nami, would also be shoru b'achil, would also be permitted, shoru always means muta, b'achila. Says the Gemara, no, absolutely not. Tinoikos dafka, sheloi huktza l'mitzvah gemura. It is not huktza for a proper mitzvah. What does that mean, it's not huktza for a proper mitzvah? Because it's just chinuch. A cotton is not really mechuyev. Therefore, that's why they could take the esrogim and eat them on the seventh day, because it was never really muktzah. Aval shal gedolim, shehuktzah lemitzvah gemura, asurin kol hayayim. Rabbi Yechon tells you, I jolly well hold that it's asa the whole day. Why is it asa the whole day? Because it's muktzah, and although he's really been mekayim the mitzvah, it's still muktzah for the entire duration of the 7 days. And that's why the Mishnah spells out that we're dafka talking about ketanim, because ketanim is not huktzah l'mitzvah gemura. Says one more Rashi. The other opinion, the other version of the event says, no, really, you could take the ketanim, the gedolim, whatever you want, but urcha de milsa. She'ein derech. What does that mean, she'ein derech? It's not the way. It's not the norm. Lishmait, to grab miyad hagedolim es esregehem. It's not the norm to grab from adults, to grab the estrogen from the adults. Not that halachically it was forbidden. It was 100% mutter. Why was it mutter? Because, according to Rish Lakish, the minute you finish the mitzvah on the seventh day, muktzah is all over. Just it wasn't the derech to take the gedolim's estrog, but halachically it would have been absolutely fine.
Who's doing the grabbing? Your neighbor's going to grab?
Yeah. Okay. So if it was unlikely he's going to take another adult's estrog, he's more likely to take a child's estrog. But technically and halachically it would be perfectly mutter, in the opinion of Rish Lakish, to take a adult's estrog as well. Okay, let's just go back now to the Rashi that we missed out. Miyad tinoiko is shaymtin. When is that referring to? Bishvi'i ko'i b'masnisin. This is referring to the shvi'i b'masnisin as we learned in our Mishnah. Now, this was all based on the translation of miyad tinoiko is meaning from the hands of the tinoikos. Which means, if you translate the Mishnah as miyad tinoikos, that means whose esrog was being grabbed?
Depends on who's...
If you translate literally for the moment, miyad tinoikos,
the child's
esrog, and who's doing the grabbing? The adults. That is the simple translation of the Mishnah. Says Rashi, however, the yeish meforashim, there are those who explain miyad tinoikos, quote unquote, could be translated differently. Do you know how it could be translated? Kloimar miyad achar siyum mitzvas lulav. After the siyum, what does the siyum always mean? After the end of the mitzvas lulav, comma, hatinoikos shoymtin es lulvehen. The children would grab their lulavim. What does that mean? Kloima. Manichim oisam. They'll just leave them. Shoymtim can mean not just grab, it can mean just leave them. Kamoi, such as we find in Beitzod of Chavchesam Abbeis, Shoymtu umanichin bekeren zovis. Vahoilchin vahoichlin esregehen. They would eat their own esregen. Now, let's stop. Rashi in a minute is going to disprove this translation. But if we would go with this translation, how would you read the Mishnah then? That everybody would do their mitzvah on the seventh morning. Umiyad does not mean from the hands of. Rather, it means
immediately. Yeah.
Immediately after having performed the mitzvah, what did the tinoikos do?
They took their lulavim and ate them.
Their own esrogim. They ate their own esrogim. So, Rabbi Yosef, it does not mean that the adults took the child's esrogim. Rather, it means what? The children took their own. Now, in a minute we'll disprove this, but let's just press pause. If you would read the Mishnah that way, why is Rashi making such a fuss? Rashi will now bring a whole medrash and a whole source to prove that this is not the correct reading of the Mishnah. Why would that make a big difference to us?
Because the children don't have
an esrog. Right. If you read the Mishnah like we understood until this point, meaning miyad tinoikos, from the hands of the tinoikos. So who's doing the grabbing? The adults. Oh, so then we have a big question. Adults have a mitzvah. They've got to be very careful with all of Hilchas Muktzah. So then we can possibly debate who they're taking it from the children, from the adults. But if miyad means immediately and it was the children who were doing the eating, well, how can you bring a proof to anything then?
Who cares?
The children. Say to the children, they don't keep halachas, they're not mukhiv in halachas. You can't bring a proof one way or another. That's why Rashi's making a big fuss. Because the whole question that Rabbi Yochanan can ask Rish Lakish or Rish Lakish can ask Rabbi Yochanan is all predicated on the understanding that the Gedolim were grabbing. Who from? Fine, that was the debate. Either from the children or from the adults, whoever it was. But the Gedolim are the ones getting themselves in trouble over here, perhaps. But if it was to be translated as Miyad, immediately, so therefore, who's doing the grabbing, who's doing the eating? It's the children. But say this, what's the kasha? The children are not mechuyev in mitzvahs, they can do whatever they like. So that's why Rashi needs to go out of his way to disprove this. And to show us that it's not the correct translation, and that's how we understand the whole Shaka Vatari in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, says Rashi rather, Va'ein Nira. What does that mean, Va'ein Nira?
Doesn't appear.
It doesn't appear correct. I disagree. Why do I disagree? Says Rashi, Da Omrinon Bereishis Rabbah. What's Bereishis Rabbah? It's a medrash. Although at the side they write, it's a mistake, it should be Vayikra Rabbah. A very important rule, by the way. You have to remember this rule till you're 120. You will notice that in our print of Gemara, occasionally you have parentheses which are round and occasionally square. In the Gemara we have it the whole time. If you look on our page, we have some round parentheses, Umichal Bo. If you look on the next page, Omer of Papa. But occasionally you have a square parenthesis, like Rashi on the next page says, Shehoyo Loi. Loi is in square parenthesis. On almost every page you will see these types of parentheses, either round or square. So what's the difference? So it's commonly accepted that wherever you have a round parenthesis, then it's a mistake. If it's...
It shouldn't be there.
No, the parenthesis should be there. That means the words inside the parenthesis are mistaken, they needed to be edited or changed or missed out. If it is, however, square parenthesis, then you read the words in the parenthesis as well. That is the commonly accepted way of reading Gemara, Rashi. By the way, don't make a mistake. Sometimes you'll see in Rashi round parentheses, but they're small. Those are just a maramokim. So on every page. Right, we saw over here. Dvorim laflamed in brackets. Dvorim tezayin lekamon. Those are just maramokimis. Marmokim, la'el, la'kamon, devarim, bereishis. Those, of course, are read. That's just a marmokim. The reason why it's put in parentheses is because not part of the text. It's just the reference. So here also, when it says, bereishis rabo, and it's put in round parentheses, you know that it's a mistake. And what is the correct version, as it says in the side? You look in the side, and it says, Tzadi Lamed. What does Tzadi Lamed stands for? Tzarech Loima. What it should say is Bevayikra Rabo, not Bereishis Rabo, Vayikra Rabo. And in fact, it says the Bechukoi say Pashas Lamed Zayin. Okay. Either way, what does it say in this Medrash? Not Bereishis Rabo and Vayikra Rabo. It says as follows: Maisa Bechosid Echod. There was a story with a very righteous person, a Chosid. Shenosan Dinor Laoni. Who gave a dinar to a poor person. Vehiknitosoi ishtoi. What does vehiknitose mean?
Grab.
She's not grabbed. She taunted him.
Taunted?
Taunted. Nokat is to grab, but oh. Konat, vehiknitose ishta. His wife taunted him, drove him crazy. Uborach, and he escaped. Whose wife? The wife of the Oni or the wife of the Chassid? The wife of the Chassid. This Chassid had a dinner in his house and he gave it to the Oni. The Chassid now has no money left because he's just given away his last dinner. That's why his wife got very upset. Which reminds me, have you ever heard of... He came to the Groa recently. Chassidish, big, big superstar these days. Rav Meilech Biederman in his Golden Bekisha. Phenomenal. Lelev HaChassid, big magid, big machazik. So I read recently one of the magazines had a whole big interview with him. So he's also known as, he lives on nothing. Shabbos, by the way, doesn't sleep at all. Doesn't sleep on Shabbos at all. He stays up the whole night learning. But Al Capone, he barely eats and he learns, big hasmoda. Any money that comes his way, he gives away. So I read, they said a story there that he was at a chasana. And somebody knows he's got no money, he has nothing. So a wealthy individual gave him an envelope stashed with cash. I'm sure, you know, Rav Meilech could do with his money, gave him the envelope. And one of Rav Meilech's Talmidim saw him getting this envelope. And he realized this envelope is not safe in Rav Meilech's hands. But he knew that Ramaylach needed the money. So he quickly went, this town went to the Ezra's Noshim to meet Ramaylach's wife, his Rebbetzin, and said to her, listen, your husband has just received an envelope of cash, and I'm sure you could do with it. And I don't think it's in safe hands. I think you better just ask him quickly for the envelope, because if you look after it, you know, I'm sure you'll buy things you need in the house. But with him, it's not safe. And she said, yeah, I agree. We better get hold of it. Fine. So the Talmud went back into the hall.
It's gone.
Too late, already given it away. You're already giving it away. You read the story?
No.
Already given it away to an Oni. Too late. A minute later, it was gone. Unbelievable. So this Chassid gives away his last dinner.
To pray for my niece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua Miller,
yeah.
When he had his son,
yeah.
He managed to get him his son there.
That was Meilech Biederman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
And so I went up afterwards to ask him to daven for the niece, and he knew the name straight away.
Really?
How is she? I was amazed.
Wow.
Brings the people.
Yep. Okay, Maisa b'chassid echot. So there's a story with a particular chassid. Shenosan dinner la'oni. He gives a dinner to a poor man. V'knitosa yishta. His wife's now taunting him and mocking him and angry. What's going on? We have no money. Ubarach. He had enough, so he fled. He ran away. V'loy hoy aloy. But now he doesn't have b'meh lehisparnis. What does the word lehisparnis mean? The word parnosa. He has no parnosa. He has no sustenance. He's given away his last dinner. He's not at home. He's got no money. B'shvi'i shel arova. What does that mean, b'shvi'i shel arova?
On the seventh day.
On Hashanah Rabbah, on the seventh day. B'shvi'i shel arova, on the seventh day. Holach v'shomat. He went and he grabbed esroigim miyad hatinoikos. He took esroigim from the children, k'detnan tamon, as we have learned in the Mishnah over there. Tamon means over there. So this chosid gave himself license to grab the ketanim's esroigim, as we have learned in the Mishnah, miyad hatinoikos shomtin, etc., etc. Now this chosid was obviously an adult. And he's using our Mishnah as a basis to allow himself to grab the Esregim. At least he's got a bit of food now. Vahoya Oisai Chassid, and this particular Chassid, Oiver Bisfina, he traveled by boat. Derech Krach Echod, what's a Krach? A city. He went via a particular city. Vahutzrachu Lebeis Hamelech. And the Beis Hamelech, the palace, needed, would you believe it, Le'esregin de Mitzvah Le'refuah. They needed a Esregin that had been used for a mitzvah for a particular refuah. So his lucky day, travels by boat, he arrives in the city, and in the palace, there's somebody who's ill, and what is their medication? Esregin de Mitzvah. To which he says, well, you're in luck, because I've just grabbed a whole bunch of Esregin from some Tinoikos. In which case, Umochron, and he sold them, B'yoyker Godol. What does B'yoyker Godol mean?
Oh, a lot of money.
Yes, Yoker. He made a large profit. Chozar Lebesoy, and he came back home, and he told his wife, no, Baruch Hashem, we have money. That's the end of the story. Now, what do you see from that story? That what is the correct translation of the Mishnah?
That an adult took it.
That an adult is grabbing it from the children. That means who's doing the grabbing? The adult. Says Rashi, Alma, what do you see? The gedoylim shomtilei. So you see it's the adults who are grabbing it from who? Miyad atinoikus. Because if you would translate miyad as meaning what?
Immediately.
But who's doing the grabbing and eating? The children. So how could this chassid possibly base himself on the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't say you're allowed to grab a Esregim, it just said children who are not Mochri B'mitzvahs did it. But say there's no proof that an adult can do it. Elamai, you see that what? That how did this Chassid understand the Mishnah? That from the hands of the children, the adults grabbed it. So you see that clearly the adults are the one doing the grabbing. That it therefore is the correct translation. Okay. Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara. So we don't really have a proof, therefore, one way or another, to Rabbi Yochanan or Resh Lakish. You can learn the Mishnah either way. So now we need to get back to the initial statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that for some reason that we don't understand yet, there is a difference between an Esrog and a Sukkah. Whereas an Esrog is Mutawen. An Esrog is only mutter on the eighth day, but a sukkah, even on the eighth day, is awesome. Now, Reish Lakish, if I would ask you, what does Reish Lakish hold about a sukkah?
Good question.
So the real answer is, Lachair, at the moment, we might be tempted to say that.
Also,
no, he didn't say. He only ever spoke about an Esrog and a Lulav. He didn't talk about a sukkah. But to the contrary, if he only mentions Esrog, so remember one of our favorite rules in this year? You have to be Medayik.
What he didn't say.
If he doesn't disagree with Sukkah, he only commented on Esrog.
I agree with
you. So it sounds like you would agree with Sukkah. You have to medayek not only what it says, but also what it doesn't say. If I say two pieces of information, and you disagree with one of them, then that means that you agree with the other. Otherwise, why didn't you comment on that one as well? So at this stage of the game, I would tentatively say that he only disagrees with regard to Esrog. And he says, on the Esrog is Mutta on the seventh day. But with regard to Sukkah, he never commented. So therefore, I'm assuming at this point that he agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that indeed it's Asa, including on the eighth day. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Papa La'abaya. Now here we have to medayik. Le Rabbi Yochanan. Maishno Sukkah, Maishno Esrog. So what is the question? What is the difference between Esrog, which you're telling me is Muktzah on the 7th, but permitted on the 8th, and yet Sukkah, you're telling me, is Asa on the 8th? But one second. There are two very important words in that question. What are the two important words? L'Rabbi Yochanan. What does that mean, L'Rabbi Yochanan? Who's he firing the question at?
Rabbi Yochanan.
So again, let's make a diuk. If you're only firing the question at Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds like, according to Rish Lakish, however, we have no question. Otherwise, there's no need to point the question at Rabbi Yochanan if, quite frankly, Rish Lakish is in the same situation. So why is this akasha only on Rabbi Yochanan and not on Rish Lakish? Now, if this goes back to what we just said a moment ago, if we say that Rish Lakish only disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan with regard to Esrog, but with regard to Sukkah, he agrees that what? That it's Asa for the eighth day. Wouldn't you agree to me that the question should therefore be posed of Rish Lakish as well?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says that who's being asked? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is a stira. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Esrog is Mutta on the eighth day and the Sukkah is Asa on the eighth day. That's the Kasha. But Rish Lakish, for some reason, is not mentioned.
It's an even bigger Kasha in Rish
Lakish. Lachai Rish Lakish is even a bigger Kasha because
both days.
Yeah, because according to Rish Lakish, basically on the seventh it's Mutta, at least after you've done the mitzvah. So Esrog, you're going to tell me Sukkah is Asa on the seventh and also the eighth? Lachai, it's even a bigger question. And yet the Gemara clearly spells out that who's the kasha on?
Rabbi Yochanan.
Papa is asking to Abaya. Rabbi Yochanan needs explanation. So we'll have to bear this in mind. Maybe we'll come back to this. Why did Rish Lakish not have the question fired at him as well? Okay. But at the moment, either way, let's just see what it does say. That the Gemara's kasha is on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, you're telling me that the Esrog is Mutter on the 8th. So why is the Sukkah also on the 8th? Omale says Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah de Chazya. What does the Chazya mean?
It's fitting.
It's fitting. It's Ra'u Lebein HaShmoshois. The mitzvah of Sukkah applies until when? Till the end of the seventh day. What does that mean, the end of the seventh day? What is the status of Bein HaShmoshos always?
Safek.
Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Which we're soon going to learn, and Mr. Shem, especially at the bottom of the Omid, is an enormous conundrum over here. If you want to eat a meal, Bein HaShmoshos, on the seventh day, it might well still be Yom, in which case you have to eat in the Sukkah. So if I ask you, up to which point is this Sukkah needed for the mitzvah?
Tonight.
Until the end of Bein HaShmoshos. Now, Bein HaShmoshos is always this bizarre time period. Why is it bizarre? Because it's Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So it's true, on the one hand, you might have to sit in the Sukkah Bein HaShmoshos. Why? Because it could be Yom. But on the other hand, it might be Laila. It might be Laila. Okay, says the Gemara. Sukkah de Chazya le Bein HaShmoshos. Sukkah is fitting for Bein HaShmoshos. Why is it fitting? Why is it necessary? De I is Rami Le, because if it will just so happen, Su'udaso is Su'uda, if it will so happen that he fancies having a meal at the end of the day, Bo'i, he is required, Mesav, to sit, Begavo, in it, Umechal, and eat. Begavo, in it. Mesav, Begavo, Umechal, Begavo. He will be required to sit in it and eat in it. Therefore, what is katzoi lebein hashmoshos? Remember, this is going to be mukta until when? Until the end of the last possible moment you might need this for a mitzvah. When is that? Bein hashmoshos. Because you might fancy eating. And if you fancy eating, let's say for argument's sake, Bein hashmoshos is 7 o'clock. 7 till 7.30. Just throwing out a number over here. Now, if you want to eat a meal at 6.59, obviously you have to eat in the sukkah, mitzvah d'oraisa. If it's after 7.30, Shmini Atzeres, then Pashas, you do not have to eat in the sukkah. We'll see later on in the Gemara, it's a whole shiloh. Pashas, you do not need to. But if it's in between 7 o'clock and 7.30, Sofik Yoim, Sofik Laila. Therefore what? What will you have to do? L'maisa, you'll have to eat misofik. Misofik. Which, by the way, of course, will present problems. What do you do with regard to the brocha? But that's not our discussion for the moment. Which means when he initially built this sukkah, when was he makta it until? In other words, till what time?
7:30.
Till 7:30. Ah, so it's mukta during Bein HaShmoshos. Says the Gemara, well, we have a famous rule. If it's iskatzoi lebein hashmoshos, umegu, what does megu mean?
Since
iskatzoi lebein hashmoshos, iskatzoi lekule yoima. It's mukta for the whole day. This is a very, very important principle, and this, by the way, applies on Shabbos as well. Imagine, for example, I think we mentioned this last time, you have an animal. An animal is mukta. Why? Because you can't shecht it. It got shechted somehow. I don't know how, but it got shechted. So now it's not mukta, you'd think. Why? Because it could be used. The answer is, it is. Why? Because when Shabbos came in at Bein HaShmoshos, it was mukta. Whatever's mukta Bein HaShmoshos remains mukta for the entire duration of the day, even though the reason that made it mukta in the first place no longer applies. Here we have a classic case in point. At the end of the day, this was mukta not just till 7 o'clock. It was till 7.30, because that's Bein HaShmoshos. If it's mukta until 7.30, then it will remain mukta for the entire duration of the eighth day, even though for 23 and a half hours of that day, there's absolutely no reason in the world it should be mukta. The answer is it doesn't matter. Because as long as it was mukta for Bein HaShmoshos, it remains that way for the entire duration of the day. But that's all true with regard to sukkah. Says the Gemara, not so with Esrog. Esrog, deloy chazi lebein hashmoshes. Esrog is not fitting for Bein HaShmoshos. We'll soon have to see why. Therefore, loy iskatzoi lebein HaShmoshos. Therefore, it's not mukta for Bein HaShmoshos. And automatically, v'lo iskatzoi lekule yeme. Well, obviously, therefore, there's no reason to pick a mukta for the whole day. So if you want to know, lekule yeme, the shmini, for all of the eighth day. So if you want to know, whether something is mukta for the whole day, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. Was it or was it not mukta at Bein HaShmoshos? If it was mukta at Bein HaShmoshos, that's it, gone, game. Game over, it'll be mukta for the whole day. But if it was not mukta at Bein HaShmoshos, then nothing happened. Therefore, says Abaya, if you want to know, it was Rav Papa who asked Abaya, if you want to know why does Rabbi Yochanan say that an esrog is mutter on the eighth day, but a sukkah is forbidden on the eighth day, the answer is because a sukkah was mukta Bein HaShmoshos. Therefore it remains mukta the whole day. The esrog, however, was not mukta Bein HaShmoshos, therefore it will not be mukta the whole day. What the Gemara did not explain was, why is the esrog not chazi lebein HaShmoshos? So Rashi picks up on this. Says Rashi, dechazi lebein HaShmoshos. an esra, a sukkah, is fitting ben hashmoshes. Why? Shaharei mitzvoso kol hayoim. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is all day, including the end of the day. An esrog, however, is loy chazil bein hashmoshes. Why? Misha yotzo boy shachris. What does that mean, Misha yotzo boy shachris? Because once you shake the esrog in the morning, that's it. Unlike sukkah, where even if you sat in the sukkah in the beginning of the day, that doesn't mean there's no usage. You can have an afternoon lunch, you can have an evening tea, you can eat until Ben Hashmoshes, including Ben Hashmoshes. Therefore, it could very well be used until the very last minute, including Ben Hashmoshes. So it can be Muktzah Ben Hashmoshes. Muktzah Ben Hashmoshes is Muktzah for the whole day, unlike Esrog. Now, we need to leave off over here with a question, and we'll continue this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, which is, how does Muktzah work? Who makes it Muktzah?
The individual.
The individual. So, when you bought your Esrog on Erev Yom Tov, did you know what time you're going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Esrog on the seventh day? What happens if you overslept? What happens if you were feeling unwell? What happens if a million things could happen? So when will you shake the Esrog?
Anytime during the
day. Maybe anytime, maybe Ben Hashmoshes.
Can you?
So why is the Sukkah more Chazia Ben Hashmoshes than the Esrog? And if you tell me that an Esrog cannot be shaken during Ben Hashmoshes, so why does Rashi say something about Misha Yotza Boy Shachris? That's not the point. Rashi sounds like the reason why it's not Muktza Ben Hashmoshes is because you've already been Yotza Shachris. What do you mean Yotza Boy Shachris? Who says he shook it Shachris? At least when he was initially Maktza the Esrog from the outset, how did he know that he would shake it for Shachris? What did you mean before, Ramesh Zelig, when you said, can you shake it Ben Hashmoshes? Why not? What should be the difference in Esrog and Sukkah?
It's a Suffolk Lila.
What about...
Oh, you mean it's the Rabbana on the seventh
day.
What did you say?
Suffolk de'eraisa lechumra. Suffolk de'rabbanon lekula. Sukkah is de'eraisa until when?
All 7 days.
So if I want to eat a meal, I want to know, must I eat in the sukkah? What will the Rav tell you? Yes. Well, it's a suffix. It's a suffix of a do'i raisa, so you have to machne. But what happens if I tell the Rav, I didn't get round to shaking my esrog today? It's now Ben Hashmoshes. Well, esrog on the seventh day is only drabonon. Ben Hashmoshes is a suffix. Suffix drabonon, of course. That could, in theory, be a different understanding, and we'll see the Ritva does say this, to the Gemara. But it's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the reason why it's not Muktzah is because you already shaken the Esrog when? Shachris. How do you know? Maybe you didn't. So now, do you have the sheets on you? Did anybody print it up?
Yes.
I PDF'd it.
Yep.
Yes.
As you noticed. Wow, yeah. Which means it should always come out now exactly as I sent it. You'll have no problem on different pages. Okay, now there's lots to see over here, as you can see. Number one, the top Tosfos. I think we pointed this out last time. The first half of Tosfos. And the third Tosfos.
The
E. Have a look at the Ritva, number one on the sheets. It's a little bit scary looking. I know it's very lengthy. I've tried to underline and bold various parts to try and stress which are the main parts, but have a bash. Either way, Be'ez Hashem, we will try and learn it tomorrow. We've got to do these tosis as well. Number two on the sheets is later on the Gemara. Levi Omar, which is the next line. But we won't get there yet. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We'll start off with Levi and Shmuel. And then we'll see the tosis, and then we'll see the Ritva. Mr. Shem, that will be on tomorrow morning with Hashem. First day Chanukah. Then with. Locked out.